You are listening to episode 80 of the Body You Crave podcast, the one where we talk about what emotional eating actually is and what it's not.
I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Hey, hey, welcome back. All right. So today we're going to talk about what is emotional eating, because I realized I haven't actually done a full podcast just highlighting what it is and what it's not. And this came up, and I'll share the story here in a little bit, but it came up where I think I offended somebody by even sharing a resource about emotional eating. And that definitely was not my intention. But I think we can have this misperception about what it is, what it means. There can be a lot of shame that goes along with it, and we can not have the clearest picture. So it's been really interesting. This is now my third time re-recording this episode because I just feel so scattered and all over the place with my ideas of what it is and what it's not. And here's how this piece ties in over here. And so I'm going to try and make this as clear and as coherent as possible, but just know that we might do some little loop-de-loops. It's not just going to be a straight line. I'm going to speak with some little loops here, okay? So emotional eating is using food to change your emotional state. Anytime we have a negative emotion that we want to avoid or distract ourselves from, or we can be eating for positive reasons. It could be, I'm enjoying myself. This food tastes so good. I'm having such a good time. I don't want the night to end. So it can be for positive reasons that we are emotionally eating as well. Emotional eating is a learned behavior, okay? It's a habit that you learn, which means that it's a habit you can unlearn, and that's the beauty of it. It's not something that you are stuck with forever. It's not a character flaw. It's not this internal problem with you. It's just a learned behavior. It's a habit. So our brain has simply realized that food creates a rapid, reliable, and effective sense of relief. If food can be here, it can be emotional eating. It can also be emotional drinking. Sometimes our brains learn that alcohol can create a rapid, reliable, and effective sense of relief. It doesn't mean that you're an alcoholic. And I think this is really important because we have to understand what the problem is so that we can solve for it appropriately. There have been people in my life who have gone to AA meetings and I'm just thinking, but you're not an alcoholic. That isn't actually your problem. Your problem is your unwillingness to feel your emotions. It's your resistance to the negative emotions. It's your resistance to actually thinking about what you say to yourself all day long, how you talk to yourself, how you think about yourself when you step on the scale, when you look in the mirror, when you look at old photos of yourself, when you make a mistake at work, when you're running late to pick up the kids, when you forget your kids' shin guards at the house and they don't have them for soccer practice. What are you saying to yourself in those moments? And so often, it's not just circumstances of life. It's not other people's words and their thoughts and what's going on with them. It's our own internal dialogue that drives our emotional eating. So it's really interesting as I think back on this, I noticed I was emotionally eating in 2018 and really identifying, oh, this is my issue. I'm eating and I'm not really hungry, or I'm eating and I'm always overeating every single day and I can't figure out how to stop. And so I kept thinking, if I had a different job, then I would stop emotionally eating. So I did end up changing jobs a few months later. And while I got better for a little bit of time, I was still emotionally eating all throughout it. And then it picked back up. And then I ended up quitting my job. We moved and I went into my business full time. And that was my thought, was once I get into my business full time and I'm not working this other job, then I'm going to stop emotionally eating. So I kept thinking if I could just change these circumstances, then I would stop this habit. And it still continued. Even when I was in my business full time, I still noticed I would still go to the pantry in the afternoon when I was not hungry. And while these habits were decreasing, I still noticed the habit was there. And that's the thing, is we have to just recognize and understand that it's not by changing our circumstances. It's not by saying no and I just can't drink anything, or I can't eat sweets, or I just can't control myself. It's that restriction that often leads to the binge later, because it's an emotional way. It's how we have trained our brain to seek emotional peace. And this is why when it comes to diets, it can be really challenging, because we will take away the food, but now all we've done is take away our only coping mechanism. And so we might have enough willpower to say no for a little bit, But eventually we give in and we don't know how to have a healthy relationship with food. So we don't know how to moderate. Then it's, well, I already blew it. I already screwed up. I'm just going to keep going now. Who cares? I already ruined the day. I'll start over tomorrow or I'll start over next week. And we do this with drinking. We do this with alcohol as well. It's this all or nothing approach. I'm either on the wagon or I'm off. I'm either good or I'm bad. And if I've been bad, there's no making up for it now. Well, I've done screwed up now. Can't fix it. Might as well keep going. And in my mind, when this was happening back in my diet years, when it would be Wednesday and I would have eaten off plan twice and my health coach at the time told me, well, you're not going to lose weight if you eat off plan two times or more. Then I would think, well, screw it. Why keep punishing myself? Why keep restricting food? Why bother to keep going if I'm not going to lose weight? Now, it was faulty thinking. It was just a thought error. That wasn't actually true. It definitely was not helpful. Of course, if I keep telling myself I'm not going to lose weight now, I've already messed up, why would I keep trying to restrict food? Why would I keep telling myself no? Why would I keep trying to punish myself? No, I'm not going to get the reward. No, I'm not going to do that hard work. That would be like telling somebody, you can keep studying, but you're still going to get an F. Why would they keep studying if they know they're going to fail? That doesn't make any sense. So again, it was just faulty logic, faulty thinking, and maybe it works for some people. For the majority, I don't think that does work because it is emotional eating. It's emotional drinking. So we just want to know this. We want to understand it because now we know food is not the problem. I don't have to solve for the food. I don't have to be afraid of the food. I actually need to create peace and ease around the food so that there's no bad foods. Nothing is ever off limits or never can I ever. And I start to understand and identify and really decode the emotions. And I see what is really driving this desire for food. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? It's very simple questions that we can start asking ourselves. But we first have to understand, am I even hungry? So the bulk of our emotional eating is done when we are not physically hungry. We might be emotionally hungry. There might be emotional desires or emotional needs. We might be trying to avoid certain things. But physically, our bodies are not hungry. So this is one way to test if you are an emotional eater. Is whenever you put something in your mouth to ask yourself, am I hungry? That's always going to be question number one. And that helps us to identify my eating before I'm really physically hungry. And then we also want to start to ask ourselves, have I had enough? Am I satisfied without being overly full or stuffed? You should be able to do a downward dog after lunch and not want to vomit and not need to unbutton your pants. You should be able to move comfortably, go for a brisk walk and not feel uncomfortable. You should not need a nap. So there's these different aspects where we can start to tune into some of the habits and see, okay, it's likely emotional eating. If I am eating beyond the point of satisfied, it's still emotionally eating. Okay, so it doesn't matter which side of the spectrum, whether it's hunger or satiety, if we are veering to one end or the other, one extreme or the other, it's likely emotional eating. Even for positive reasons. Remember, we can be eating to celebrate and we can be eating because it's free. We can be eating because it's somebody's birthday. We can be eating because we're having such a good time. We don't want the night to end. So there can be positive reasons and positive emotions driving our continued alcohol consumption or food consumption. And I will make a note here of that emotional eating can also be a trauma response where you're using food to cope with these negative emotions that you're really trying to avoid. And this is just your brain's way of seeking safety and a sense of calm. Now, trauma is anything that is too much, too fast, too soon. We have trauma in our lives from different diets we've been on. If we've ever been in some kind of an accident, if we've been in any kind of dysfunctional, unhealthy, or destructive relationship, we often think about seeing people die, being in war, but it's not limited to just those types of events. Sometimes that's how it comes out, is that's your brain's best way of seeking calm, seeking safety, is with food. We're trying to regulate our emotional state, but sometimes we need more trauma therapy and trauma coaching to better understand this. So I just want to point that out there. And there's a great book by Britt Frank, and it's called The Science of Stuck. And I've started listening to it, and it's amazing. I love this book so much. If you want to explore this topic more around things like trauma responses, anxiety, why we can feel stuck and where the stuck actually comes from, because we can really beat ourselves up and feel like I should be doing more. I should be more productive. I should have gotten over this by now. And really it is a trauma response and we need to have more compassion and self-awareness and love and kindness for ourselves. We just need to approach it in a little bit different angle. And when we stop trying to push and force, that's when we can make the progress. That's when we can feel at peace and at ease. And that's when we actually start moving closer to our goals. And it sounds so backwards, but it works the same way on the scale. When we are constantly obsessed and struggling and so hardcore trying to go after getting the scale to move, we just become so engrossed in this is what it has to be that the scale doesn't move. And sometimes it goes up and then we feel frustrated and defeated and we're angry. Whereas if we just release that and we create some peace and some space, the scale will go down. It's like the tighter you hold something, the harder it's going to fight you to try to get away. The more you loosen your grip, the easier it becomes to develop a healthy relationship with it. Kind of a side tangent, but I just wanted to bring that in because the whole trauma response aspect is something that I'm learning and studying more about. I'm looking at how it's showing up in my life, how it's showing up in clients' lives, so that we can have some more understanding and compassion for ourselves as we're dealing with this. Because logically, things might make sense. Logically, we might know what we want to do more and less of, but there might be something internally that feels very unsafe about it. And that's why just giving up the food or saying no to the food or just taking all the food out of the house doesn't really solve the issue if you don't have other tools and ways of handling those emotions that you're trying to escape. This is really just a big picture in helping us realize that emotional eating is not an issue about food. It's an issue with emotions, and it's our inability or our unwillingness, our lack of desire to accept, to allow, or to process emotions, in particular, negative emotions. So everyone emotionally eats, even normal eaters, right? I'm going to use the term normal instead of healthy because a lot of times when we think of a healthy eater, we think of what foods they're eating, but I think about it as like a normal eater has a healthy relationship with all food. Okay, so no food is bad or off limits. They are not bad or good based off of what they eat. That's what I'm talking about when I say a normal eater. Okay, and a normal eater will still sometimes emotionally eat. But the differentiator is that a normal eater will move on with their life and they will learn something from it. There's very little to no shame. They're not beating themselves up. They're looking at, oh, I noticed I overate last night. When should I have stopped? What will I do differently next time? And they just get right back on track. There's no trying to make up for it the night before, whereas a lot of consistent emotional eaters will beat themselves up, think something's wrong with them, they're totally broken, something's wrong with them, they feel a lot of regret and guilt and often a lot of shame, and they will often feel the need to make up for it. So they have to restrict what they eat the next day, they have to make up for it with extra exercise, sometimes it looks like punishment. It's a very punitive conversation. You ate this last night, so you don't get to eat this morning. No carbs for you. That's it. Or it's you ate those Oreos last night, so you have to run an extra 5 miles today. And that's the difference. One has a healthy relationship with food that sometimes overeats a little bit, that sometimes eats when they're not hungry, that sometimes gives in to an urge or a craving, versus somebody who has a really unhealthy relationship with food where it's all or nothing, good versus bad. They don't just moralize food, they moralize themselves based off of what they're eating. That's a key way to start to look at who is an emotional eater. And it's the consistency of it. The consistency of that habit is one aspect. And then it's how they're thinking about it, how they're thinking about the habit, about food, about themselves, about things like weight loss or body image. With consistent emotional eaters, this will be a regular occurrence, multiple times a week, maybe even every day or multiple times a day, they are emotionally eating. Versus a normal eater, it might come up once a month, maybe a couple times a year. It's like it might still happen, but it's not as consistent as with emotional eaters. And this is good news because we can transition from being emotional eaters to being normal eaters who sometimes still overeat or emotionally eat on occasion. I am living proof. I have clients who are living proof. They can go from emotionally eating every single day to now they notice it and they're like, oh, not only does it happen far less frequently, maybe once every couple of months, but now it's also something that they don't beat themselves up for. They learned how to assess. They learned how to figure out what happened here. What was going on? Ah, this is what it was. This is the thought that really drove it. This is why I was emotionally eating here. This is why I was overeating. And they move on with their life. There's no punishment. There's no shame. There's no guilt. They really feel so much more neutral about it, and they just get right back on track. They get right back on track with their entire life. So if you are overeating, you are likely emotionally eating. If you've been struggling to lose the same 10 or 20 pounds, you are likely emotionally eating. If you can lose 30 plus pounds, but you always gain it back again, you're likely emotionally eating. And the key here is that we create a healthy relationship with food. Okay, food is not the problem. The restriction is the problem. It's that we wind up in that restrict, binge, regret cycle. That is the real problem. And that's why we want to start to recognize what is the issue at play. We want to start to spot and see when we are emotionally eating, because that's going to help us solve for the right problem. So it changes the solution aspect. I was actually talking with a friend about some different things going on. And I had asked her, oh, do you think this one thing is imposter syndrome? And she was like, no, I don't think so. And she's like, it probably doesn't matter whether it's imposter syndrome or not, but I don't think it is. And she went on to explain. And as I thought about it more, I was like, no, actually, that's really good to see. It's not imposter syndrome, which actually I have a guest podcast with a friend of mine named Jenny Midgley. And she actually talked about imposter syndrome. So I will link back to that in the show notes here. And my computer is being really slow and it's not telling me what episode it is, but it was one of the earlier episodes. But anyway, so we were talking about this and I was like, it's actually really important and good for her to identify and see, oh no, this actually isn't the issue. It's actually something else, because now she can solve for the right problem. She doesn't need, if it's not imposter syndrome, she doesn't need to go around trying to solve for that. She needs to solve for what really is the challenge, what really is blocking her. So we want to understand what emotional eating is. That way we can solve for it appropriately. Emotional eating is not an eating disorder. It's not binge eating. It's also nothing to be ashamed about. Okay, again, because this is something that everybody does from time to time. It's something that even normal eaters are going to do. Now, there are some similarities and differences between binge eating and emotional eating. So you think about it like a Venn diagram, how you have those two circles that overlap. In the center, you have where binge eating and emotional eating overlap. And then on the left, you might have binge eating. And on the right, you have emotional eating. So you have some aspects that define one another. And then you have some similarities. So both are actually going to feel a lot of shame, guilt, regret about what they eat. There's often an unhealthy relationship or dysfunctional relationship with food in there. And sometimes body image, weight loss, there can often be diet trauma. There's a lot of similarities. Binge eating, though, is going to be a large amount of food in a short amount of time, and it's often followed with a lot of self-loathing and shame. Now, the shame is optional in the emotional eating. I have found that there is quite a bit, but it's not as heavy or as weighty as a binge eater, typically, in my experience from what I've seen. Now, if you eat this types of food, or if you eat this much in this amount of time, there's no set clear guidelines. It's just categorized as a large amount of food in a short amount of time. And often it's done in secret. They try to hide evidence. Again, because there is shame about what they are doing. So it's more of that unhealthy relationship with food that, again, you can change. And it's not so much about never binging again. It's that your binges will start to turn into more of emotional eating. You'll start to binge less and you will emotionally eat less. So it's going to go from a binge into more emotional eating into normal eating. And still occasionally you might overeat. And still occasionally, you might even binge. There might be time, you might get to a point where you are a normal eater, and a couple times a year, maybe you binge. But are you learning from it? The real question is, are you learning from it? Are you changing that conversation with yourself? Are you doing it better, like with less shame, less judgment, less self-loathing? Are you really understanding the patterns and the habits? Are you working to allow your emotions? So it's on a continuum is how I think about it. If you have like normal eaters on the left and binge eaters on the right, you can move from being a binge eater into the middle of being an emotional eater into the left of being a normal eater. You're going to move through this process. It's not bad. It's not worse. It's nothing else. It's the same process, the same challenges that emotional eaters deal with, binge eaters also deal with. They are just often consuming more food. I want to highlight, though, is that emotional eating is not an eating disorder. And it's nothing to feel ashamed about. It's not a character flaw. And this came up a couple weeks ago. I was talking with a potential client and we were actually talking about working together and around her relationship or career, just in this other capacity. And then it got brought up that she was also wanting to lose 8 pounds. She was like, I feel like I'm like always trying to lose 8 pounds. And I thought that was really interesting. And so afterwards, I sent her an email and I just shared a few of the different resources that I have. So I sent her the podcast, my emotional eating workshop. And then I was telling her about an upcoming 5-day event that I'll be hosting now in the first week of April. And she was very offended that I sent her this emotional eating workshop. And in my mind, I was just thinking, these are all the free resources that I have, so you might find them valuable. And instead of her saying, thank you so much, I appreciate it, or thank you, I'm actually not an emotional eater, but thanks for sending that over. She didn't even have to say anything. She might have just even been thinking to herself like, oh yeah, that's not for me. But the fact that she responded, and again, I'm adding my own tone here, but the way that I read it was like, I don't know what gave you the impression that I'm an emotional eater. I don't snap. I don't eat a lot of sweets. I don't do this. Like, I don't know what gave you this impression, but you are wrong. She seemed very offended. And that was the only thing she addressed. She didn't address any of the workshop that I was talking about. She didn't address the podcast. She picked out that one thing. When if it wasn't something that applied to her, she could just be thinking, oh yeah, that doesn't apply to me. I'll find something else that does. So it was very interesting because I definitely touched a nerve and it was not my intention. I did not mean to offend her. It was not the purpose. I was just sharing the resources that I had, and that was one of them. Period. End of story. And I don't know if she thought I thought she had an eating disorder or if I was calling her a binge eater, or somehow, though, the wires got crossed and she was very offended that I offered her this free resource. It's okay. Miscommunications happen. But at the end of the day, if she's constantly trying to lose 8 pounds, she is likely emotionally eating somewhere. She is likely eating when she's not hungry, or she's eating beyond the point of being satisfied, and she is overeating, both of which are emotional eating. I really want to take down the stigma of this. It's not an eating disorder. It's nothing to be ashamed about. This is a normal habit and pattern and behavior, and it is a learned habit, which means you can unlearn it. And that is exactly what I do with clients every single day. I help them unlearn certain behaviors and replace them with new habits so that they can achieve any goal that they desire. And that is what lights me up. And there was so much peace and so much freedom when I did this journey for myself to feel at peace and in control around any food at any time. There was so much peace and ease around the scale, around the mirror, around the size of my clothes. That is really what I want to help people create. And so if you would like some help with this, to truly lose weight and keep it off for life, to stop messing around with those same 8 to 10 pounds constantly, if you want to feel in control around food, if you want to stop overeating, then I would love to help you. If you would like to learn more about working with me one-on-one as your coach, then you can schedule your free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. So you'll pick a day and time on my calendar that works best for you, and we'll spend some time together really diving into where are you now, where do you want to be in 6 to 12 months, and then I'll help you craft a roadmap to get there. And we'll look at the specific obstacles and challenges that come up for you. Because even though we might all be emotionally eating, we all have different flavors. We all have different triggers. We all have different food rules. We all have different diet trauma. So it all looks a little bit different based on the person, right? But it's still the same process to work through it. We still have to make peace with food, no bad foods. We still have to understand those emotional triggers, and we have to understand how we're talking to ourselves all day long, not just in the moment of the urge or the craving, but all day long. How are we talking to ourselves about our lives? That's what's important. That's the key here. And I'll help you unwind all of that. That's why I'm not just a weight loss coach or a health coach. I am also a life coach, because you don't eat in a vacuum. So we coach on all areas of your life because they all impact our emotional satisfaction and well-being, and they can all be drivers reaching for food or reaching for alcohol. So this is emotional eating. And there's nothing wrong. You are not bad. You are not evil because you do it. And if you would like some help unlearning this habit, then I would love to help you. All right, y'all. I hope you have a fabulous week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.